The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
You say, well, Joyce, what's the big deal? Well, here's the big deal. The word get, if you look it up in a dictionary, means to obtain by struggle and effort. You can't get God's mercy. You can't buy God's mercy. The only thing you can do is receive it. Mercy is a powerful thing, isn't it? Recently, we were in Thailand. So I was teaching at 10 o'clock in the morning and 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So I taught from 10 to 11, and then we had a three-hour break. So we went to get something to eat. We were sitting at this nice little restaurant. It was by a little river, and it was outside, and the weather was great. And so I ordered some iced tea, and the waitress came up behind me, and over there, they don't serve sugar in packets. They have this little thing of syrup that they give you if you want to put it in your tea. And it's, I mean, really, really, really sweet. And so I didn't intend to use it, but she brought it, and she accidentally knocked it over, and it went down the front of my clothes and down my back and into the chair, and I had on a black outfit. And so at first I thought, well, you know, this is going to be okay. It's going to dry. We wiped it off, and I told her, you know, right away, you know, it's okay. Don't worry about it. And but the more it dried, the more we realized we weren't going to wipe it off, and it was going to look pretty good. So that left me with a situation of either having to go teach looking like that, or I had to try to find the time to go back to the hotel and change my clothes. Now, I'm not going to tell you how I handled it, or how the story ends until just a little bit later in the message. I'm sure you all want to know, and I will tell you, but just a little bit later. You know, God is merciful, and that's probably not any brand new news to most of you, but there could be somebody here tonight that you really don't know that God will extend mercy to you no matter what you've done in your life. God is merciful. And we need mercy every single day of our lives, every day. I want to make a statement. I don't want you to forget it. If you don't remember anything else I said tonight, I want you to remember this. God will never ask you to forgive somebody else for more than he's already forgiven you for. And God will never ask you to be more merciful to somebody else than he's already been to you. See, I think one of the things that we really must understand about God is what he gives to us, he expects to go through us. When we get really unhappy is when we just become takers and we're not letting what God does for us flow through us, to us, and through us. God told Abraham, I will bless you, but that's not all he said. And I will make you a blessing, causing you to dispense good to others. I like to think about just being a dispensary of good for other people. So to you and through you. God loves us, but he wants his love to be received by us and then to flow through us to other people. He forgives us mainly to teach us how to forgive. And then he wants the forgiveness that he's given us to flow through us and be extended to other people. It's the same way with mercy. God is merciful to us, and he wants us to receive it, and we're going to talk about that tonight. But then he wants it to flow through us to other people. We are God's ambassadors, the Bible says, that he is making his appeal to the world through us. Every single one of you are called into ministry. It's not just the handful of people that are on the platform. Matter of fact, our main job is to train you how to do the ministry. That's what Paul said. We're called to train up people that they might go out and do the work of the ministry. And so people may come to a church to hear a certain pastor or a certain teacher, but you guys are out where the people are. You're out there with the people that aren't going to church. You're out there with the people who really need God the most, who are in the most trouble. And really, being a witness for Christ is not that difficult if we'll just let flow through us what has come to us. And I think that we're in a situation in life today where we need a revolution of mercy. Now, revolution means a radical change in the way things are. And I tell you what, if we don't need change in our society, and if you don't think that the world is without mercy, just go out and drive in traffic for 10 minutes. Just you dare make one, I mean even little teeny tiny mistake. And don't expect somebody to say, oh, they just made a mistake. I mean, you're going to get words and signals and horns. I mean, don't you ever just think, can't you just give me a break? So we want to make sure that we don't treat people like that, because everything that we do, every way that we treat people, we're sowing a seed. God is merciful. Over and over and over, the Bible talks about God's mercy. I want to give you just a few scriptures. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. It is because of the Lord's mercy and loving kindness that we are not consumed. You know, sin would literally consume us. It would just weigh us down and make us so heavy that it would kill us if it wasn't for God's mercy. Because his tender compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Wow. I believe that God makes a new batch of mercy every day because we used up all that he made yesterday. How many of you have needed mercy so far today more than once? How many of you are likely to need some more before you get home tonight? Maybe even before you get out of the church building. If you ever are in a situation where you have done something wrong and you're really needing to believe in God's mercy, just go to your Bible and open it up to Psalm 136 and read it out loud. 26 times in Psalm 136, it says God's mercy endures forever. And 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 I mean, read it out loud. And it'll start to sink in that God's mercy endures forever. 2 Corinthians 1:3 through 4 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of sympathy, pity, and mercy. He's the Father of mercy. God is the one who birthed mercy. There would be no mercy if it weren't for God. Who is the source of every comfort, consolation, and encouragement. All comfort and consolation and encouragement come from God. Even if it comes through us to somebody else, it still comes from God. Who comforts, now listen to this, verse 4, who comforts, consoles, and encourages us in every trouble, calamity, and affliction, so that we may be able to comfort, console, and encourage those who are in any kind of trouble or distress. With the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. How many of you see that? That's so wonderful to you and through you. God comforts us so we'll know what it feels like to receive that comfort. And then the first thing we should want to do is give that away to somebody else. Now, I'm going to share something with you that I really believe. A lot of Christians are unhappy because they only sit in church and let something come to them. Nothing's going through them. They come to get their blessing, and that's as far as it goes. I'll tell you just a quick story. Woman was coming to my conferences for years and years, sent under my teaching for years, and I had one big conference every year in St. Louis. We call it our yearly women's conference. Pastor Joel is going to come and speak there again this year, and this year it'll be our 35th year to have that conference, and she had come year after year after year and watched me on TV, used to come to my other conferences. And she said she was starting to not get much out of my teaching, and so she started praying for me because she thought I was losing my anointing. Now, this is just how goofy people are. Because she wasn't getting what she wanted, she assumed it was my fault. Let me say that again. Because she was no longer getting what she wanted from her church. She thought I was losing my anointing. She even went so far as to ask God if I had sin in my life. Because she didn't feel that I was as anointed as I once was. And God began to deal with her, and she came and told me this. She said, God began to deal with me, and he said, she hasn't lost her anointing. You're not getting anything because you're full. There's no place to put anything. And until you start putting some of it out, don't expect to get anything else. So the next conference she came ready to be a blessing. What would happen in the church if every person who calls himself a Christian went out of their house every day ready? I'm talking ready. You're prayed up. You're ready. You're looking for somebody to help. You can't wait for somebody to offend you so you can give them some of the same mercy that God gave you. It's almost like, come on, I dare you to offend me. I'm ready. I'm ready. What a difference it would make if Christians would really begin to not just sit in church and be fed, but to actually let what comes to them go through them. Every day I say this, and I have been telling our crowds for a couple of years to say this, something good is going to happen to me today, and something good is going to happen through me today. It's not just good enough to have something good happen to us. We want to have something good happen through us. And I'm going to say that enough tonight that it's going to reverberate in your brain for at least the next 7 days. To me and through me. To me and through me. God wants us to comfort other people with the same kind of comfort that he gives us. Now, God is merciful. I'm not going to give you any more scriptures on that. There's hundreds of them in the Bible. If you want to read any more, just read Psalms. God is merciful. But we have to learn how to receive God's mercy. And I could stand here and talk about this for a long time, because there are people, even in this place tonight, even though you believe God is merciful, and you believe that God gives mercy to people, you really have not yet received God's mercy for yourself. Receiving is the second part. God gives it, we receive it, we let it heal us, then it can flow through us. But just to say God is merciful isn't good enough. Now, let's talk about two words, the word get and the word receive. We get mixed up. God never tells us to get anything. You cannot find a scripture that talks about one of the promises of God that says go get that promise. It either says you've got it, you have it, you are redeemed, you have been sanctified. And so God wants us to believe we already have it, or he wants us to receive it by faith. We say things like this: did you get saved? Did you get the Holy Ghost? You ever heard that? Did you get the Holy Ghost? Did you get healed? Did you get your breakthrough? But the Bible says to as many as received him, he gave him power to become the sons of God. Paul said to the Corinthians, have you received the Holy Spirit? We receive from God. You say, well, Joyce, what's the big deal? Well, here's the big deal. The word get, if you look it up in a dictionary, means to obtain by struggle and effort. You can't get God's mercy. You can't buy God's mercy. The only thing you can do is receive it. And it's very unreasonable. Mercy is downright ridiculous. And how can you reason out something that is unreasonable? I can't figure out why God would just forgive me for some of the stuff that I've done, but he can if he wants to because he's God. And mercy is part of who he is. It's not even just something he does. It's part of who he is. He just cannot help himself. It's like the love of God. God doesn't turn love on and off. I've been saying this to people, and they look at me really strange, so I'm going to see if you guys look at me as strange as most people do. Do you know that no matter where you're at in your walk with God right now, God will never love you any more than he does at this moment right now? If I behave better tomorrow than I did today, God's not going to love me more tomorrow than he did today. I may feel better about myself. And yes, things will work better for me, and that will make, it will please God, but he doesn't love in degrees. He doesn't love a little bit or a little bit more. It's not based on our behavior. God is love. It's not what he does, it's who he is. He just can't help it. I'm sorry, but God just loves you. And he just is merciful. To receive, however, is such a beautiful word. To receive means to open up and as a receptacle to take in what's being offered. Wow. Well, God, I messed up again. I repent, Lord. I turn away from it. I don't want to act like that. I'm so sorry. Thank you for your forgiveness. I receive your mercy. I think that we need to take a little more time receiving when we pray. We pray, oh God, forgive me, God, forgive me, oh God, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. But we never take the time, very often we don't take the time to just stop. Just take even 30 seconds and just sit quietly in the presence of God and just believe, I am receiving that forgiveness now. My sin is washed away. God is giving me mercy. You got to receive the mercy of God. Hebrews 4:15 and 16. We do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses and our infirmities and our liability to the assaults of temptation, but we have one who has been tempted in every respect just like we are, yet without sinning. I love that Hebrews 4 says that Jesus understands us. Somebody finally gets me. Women especially want to be understood. I tell Dave, I don't care whether you really understand or not. Lie to me and tell me you do. Because it's going to be better here in the house if you just look at me and say, honey, I understand. You know, I think it's in Peter where the Bible says that a man must dwell with understanding with his wife or his prayers will be cut off. So the next time your husband acts like he's not getting you, just go. Don't we all want to be understood? But isn't it hard to find somebody in the world that you feel like really just gets you and understands you? I mean, we don't even understand ourselves. How can we expect everybody else to understand us? But Jesus understands. He understands every temptation. He understands every weakness. He understands every flaw. He understands every failure. And you know, one of the reasons why I love the thought of mercy is because mercy not only sees what we did, but mercy knows why we did it. Mercy takes a little bit of time to look beyond the what to the why. As a young woman who'd been abused by her father, I had a very strange personality. I didn't know I was strange. I didn't know that my behavior was even offensive to people. I didn't want to be that way. I didn't mean to be that way. I wanted to be liked. I wanted to be accepted. But I'd been hurt so bad, I didn't know how to. Well, God understood me. And he knew why I was the way I was. So therefore, he was merciful with me, and he took time with me, and he was patient with me, and he loved me into wholeness. And that's what he wants us to do for other people. When somebody's behavior is bad, there's a reason. Hurting people hurt people. Let's just don't be so quick to write people off. Well, we cannot earn God's mercy because it's a free gift. The only thing we can do is learn to receive it. You know, God is so patient, and he takes his time with us, and he never stops loving us, even while we're learning. Then he wants us to do the same thing for other people. What God gives to us, he expects us to let it go through us to other people. Now, today we have a wonderful offer called Moving Forward. Who doesn't want to do that? You know, I really like to make progress every day of my life. And so this is four teachings. Maybe you feel like lately you've been slipping backwards. Well, that happens if we don't keep moving forward. I like to remind people that in God's economy, we cannot stay stagnant. If we're not moving forward, we will begin to slip backward. And you know, you can move forward from brokenness to wholeness. If you've had a broken heart, you don't have to live like that. God wants to make you whole. And I want to encourage you, anybody who needs a healing touch in your life in any area, please stay right with us and watch this prayer from a recent conference, and then I'm going to talk to you for a moment about healing. Well, it's all about Jesus, isn't it? Amen. Well, I'm going to pray for you. How many of you'd like to be prayed for? How many of you maybe got some pain in your body this morning, or you like you did? Well, I think we're going to pray about that, okay? Lord, we love you so much, and we don't understand everything that happens in our lives and all the different things we go through, but we do have the privilege of trusting you. And I know that people all around the world have problems, but I would hate to be somebody who had problems and did not have Jesus to put my hope in. So thank you for saving us, for delivering us, and for all your promises. You're our Savior, our Deliverer, the Baptizer in the Holy Ghost, and our Healer. Your word says that by your stripes we are healed and made whole. And however you decide to work that out is up to you. It may be an instant miracle. It may be a process. It may be through some kind of medical means. But we believe that by your stripes, we are healed and made whole. So I pray for every person here today that is sick, that has a disease, that's had a bad report from a doctor, that has some kind of an injury that has left them impaired, even for people that have cancer and blood diseases and diabetes and pain in their back and migraine headaches, and your name is above every name. So we agree together, put our faith together, for healing to manifest in people's bodies from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. In Jesus' name. Now just take a moment and just receive that. Receive. Thank you, Lord, that your healing power is working in us, that no weapon formed against us can prosper. Thank you for your healing. Every day we get better and better in every way. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, I pray that you receive this prayer of healing today, and that by faith you will believe that God's healing power is working in you right now in whatever situation you might be facing at this moment. Just like Mary, who recently shared with us how the power of prayer helped heal her body. She says, I was surfing YouTube and found an Enjoying Everyday Life program from 13 years ago. Joyce stopped in the middle of her sermon to pray for someone with back issues. She specifically prayed for the spine to be aligned. Well, I had major spinal and nerve problems at that time, but was healed that very day. I knew that prayer of healing was for me as soon as Joyce started praying. I'm amazed that the show recorded was 13 years prior, but I still received my healing in December of 2016. Thank you for praying for me. You know what? The Word of God never gets old, and Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So free to you today upon request, we would like to send you our Healing Power of God CD. I read some scriptures onto this CD, and I believe that you are really going to enjoy it. I think if you play this over and over, maybe while you're going to sleep at night or just driving or working around the house, it's going to just keep reminding you that Jesus is our healer and that you can trust Him to take care of whatever is hurting you. God bless you and have a wonderful day.
Everyone loves the feeling of a fresh makeover. Well, this summer, let's focus on what really matters. It's time for Joyce's Summer Makeover, a 12-week challenge that will change you from the inside out. Go to joycemeyer.org to start your transformation with inspiring messages, scriptures, and more to keep you moving forward. Then continue your makeover with Joyce on Enjoying Everyday Life in August for a special month of shows to help shape the new you. Let God's Word give you the ultimate summer makeover. Sign up today at joycemeyer.org.
We live in a world where trust is difficult to gain and easily broken. Yet we all need a safe place where we can trust fearlessly. Come, connect with the one who won't let you down, whose love for you never, ever fails. At the 35th anniversary Love Life Women's Conference, featuring Joyce Meyer and her guests, Joel Osteen, John Gray, Michael W. Smith, Chris Tomlin, C.C. Winans, Ruth Graham, and Dave Meyer.
You want to really make the devil mad? Trust God and enjoy your life while God is solving your problem.
So quit trying to figure it all out and say, God, I'm going to take the limits off of you. I know one touch of your favor can get me to where I'm supposed to be.
Visit joycemeyer.org and register today. The 2017 Love Life Women's Conference.
You mean more to us at Joyce Meyer Ministries than you may ever know. We appreciate you, and we thank our friends and partners for making this worldwide ministry possible. Together, we're feeding the hungry, clothing the poor, and presenting the gospel to the nations. Please contact us or visit joycemeyer.org today to share your prayer requests, find out more about our resources, see Joyce's conference schedule, and to join us in partnership as we share the love of Christ around the globe.
The proceeding was paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.